You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, it's the talk of baseball right now. Spider tech, pine tar, whatever it is. Sunblock mixed with rosin, whatever pitchers are using. And, you know, there are some that think it's going to be a big deal. There are some that think it's not going to be that big of a deal. Right now, we welcome in Jerry Blevins, who recently retired, the reliever of the Mets and a few other teams, who joins us right now. Jerry, it's Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN here in New York. Appreciate the few minutes. How you doing?
No worries, Chris. I'm doing great, man. Enjoying retirement.
How's it been first? Is it a little bit weird? What's the situation like at home? Have you gotten the look like you're still here yet from your wife?
Yeah, I think it's more weird for them. I'm just enjoying myself. They're like, wait, you're still here. You're around way more than you should be, I think. But I love it, man. You know, I get to put the boys to sleep and make them pancakes in the morning. So it's been great, man. I do miss a lot of aspects of baseball, but I'm super happy to get that, you know, extra anxiety out of my life. It was something that, like, I wake up in the morning now and I'm like, all right, I don't have to do anything too stressful, so I'm happy.
Outstanding, Jerry. You know, when you've seen all of the, and you've done some great stuff at SNY as well, when you have seen all of this go on, what has been your take the last few days when you've seen this kind of blow up?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I feel like it's about time. I think it's a little bit late in happening and coming out, but I'm happy it's happening now. It's something I think has been progressing at a super fast pace this last, you know, especially these last two seasons. And if they didn't address it now, it was going to be, you know, it was going to be even crazier. So it's nice to see it being addressed. And I think it'll be a pretty quick transition to putting a stop to it.
All right. Well, tell me about it, Jerry. How long has this been going on, and how big of an advantage is it for pitchers?
So it's been going on forever. There's some form of it, you know, some form of doctoring the ball, whether, you know, it's the guys that used to do the spitball and manipulate it that way, or the guys that scuff the ball. There's always going to be something. So this isn't going to eliminate anything. What it started was, it started as a way to make the ball feel correct in your hand, right? It's one of those things where wherever you are, the ball feels different. Each ball you get from an umpire, even in the same game, feels different. And so as a professional, you want something to be the same. You want it to feel like you have control over this thing. And so I came up in Oakland, and, you know, it's 50 degrees at night over on the bay, and you get that marine layer. And so when you get a baseball, it feels like a cue ball covered in dust, right? And so you're like, man, this thing just slips out of my hand. It's completely different than the minor league ball. And the guys are like, hey, what we do is, you know, you put a little sunscreen on your arm, and then you just tap a little bit of rosin. And then when the ball comes back and it feels weird, you just put a little bit of that rosin and you just rub it off. So basically it started as making the ball feel comfortable in your hand. And then all of these analytics came, and you had the high speed cameras, and you have the TrackMan and the Rapsodos. And guys are starting to see instant feedback on your spin rate. And then you see it jump and spike when you have tack. And all of a sudden it starts to be an advantage thing. And so it went from something to just make the ball feel right in your hand to giving you an advantage. And I think that's when baseball should have addressed it, and they didn't. And guys looked around and saw that it wasn't being policed. And they're like, well, if everybody is doing it, I am silly not to do it. Nobody cares. So let's just do it. And that's where we were now, and it looks like they're finally addressing it.
Jerry, did you ever use anything to get a better grip, or for that matter, to improve any opportunities there with spin rate over the last few years?
No, I never. I use sunscreen and rosin, like I said, to keep the ball feeling proper. There were times, like, away from the field, away from a major league game, that I would play catch and try to feel, I'm like, what is this all about, and experiment with it. But the bottom line is, I always felt like it was cheating. And I said as much. I was going to experiment and play catch. And then I'm just like, look, man, it just doesn't feel right. I don't feel like I should be doing this. I am cheating. And it was one of those moments where, you know, I didn't play in the steroid era. So I don't know what that pressure was like, but I know I can say that I wish I was a guy that would have said no. I wish I would have been a guy that could have, you know, decided to just play it straight and narrow. But I don't know that. But I do know in this era where, you know, guys were doctoring the ball, I could say no to that. And that made me rest my head easy at night. And I know it's not the same level, but it was getting to that point. And it just wasn't for me, man. And I didn't feel right about it. And so I never really transferred it into a game.
So when you're in that situation the last few years as a pitcher, Jerry, and we're talking to Jerry Blevins, the former Met pitcher, where is that line? I mean, in terms of trying to be able to figure that out, where A, you're just trying to command the ball a little bit better versus B, spin the ball better if you're a pitcher.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. If you're trying to spin the ball, I think that's your problem right there.
Yeah.
If you're trying to add spin rate to make your pitches more effective, I think that's the when you look yourself in the mirror, you're trying to find an advantage. When you're doing something to make sure that you can control a baseball, to where if you're coming inside, you know you're not going to let it go and hit that guy up and in on his face. That's what it started out as, is like, all right, I can pitch effectively in to major league hitters, because nobody wants to break a guy's hand or hit a guy in the face like Kevin Pillar. It's horrible. It sucks for everyone involved, including the fans, and nobody wants that. So you want to feel secure. And the baseballs are drastically different. So if you're just trying to get a grip, that's one thing. But if you're trying to seek an advantage and to do something that other players, or it's illegal to do, then that's where the line is.
Last couple of years, Jerry, what do you think the percentage of pitchers has been that are doing it to try to get the advantage, to try to improve their spin rates?
So in the major leagues, I think it was climbing fast, especially like guys in my generation. You know, that's weird to already say my generation, having just stepped out of the game. But, you know, I made my debut in 07, so a lot of these guys were in high school or middle school when I debuted. So it was not that prevalent. Everybody had sunscreen and rosin to some extent, especially guys in, you know, Colorado, guys in areas where the ball would just feel bad. But there'd be guys that have like a little bit of pine tar and, you know, maybe two or three in the bullpen, and then it would be three or four. And then, like, I was in AAA in 19 and a little bit of this year, and it's everybody. And it's everybody in AA, and it's everybody in high A. I would say that in the minor leagues, the next generation coming up, because they see it's not being policed and it gives you an advantage, and if everybody's doing it, I'm going to do it too. I think it was the next wave of players where they all of them were doing it, because that's what everybody does. And so I think they're, by squashing it now, they're saving the next generation from just everybody doing it.
So it sounds like this, and tell me if I'm wrong, is viewed much differently now than, because everybody's doing it, than as cheating for the most part, as opposed to, you know, how people would view steroids or how players might view PEDs and such. Am I wrong in saying that?
This is definitely not on that level, I don't think. And some people disagree with me. I think some guys don't see a problem with it. They think it's going to be impossible to, until they make the baseball out of the box exactly the same, guys are going to worry about having grip, and hitters are going to be more comfortable with it if they know that you have control of the baseball. And so until that becomes something, there's no universal stance on it. I don't think it's not to the level of steroids. Like, it's not giving you that advantage. It's not making you go from a guy that throws 85 to a guy that throws 98. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What it is doing is making your really good slider into an elite slider. And they have metrics for that. There's levels of elite, you know, compared to the guys in the big leagues. There's, you can measure those spins and the break on that. And if you're manipulating it and you're going from a pretty good player to a great player, those are where the margins are different.
Former Met pitcher Jerry Blevins joining us right now on 98.7 ESPN. The baseball, you mentioned it coming out the same out of the box each and every year. They've clearly done something this year. The fact that they are cracking down on it now, though, do you feel like this is a little bit more convenient for baseball to try to fix maybe a problem that they created by changing the ball, by turning now and trying to blame pitchers and fixing it mid-season that way since they can't fix the ball?
I don't think it's like that. I think the ball's a problem from pitch to pitch. Like the ball's different this year. Like the overall general flight of the ball, they you know, brought it back a little bit from being as pop. But like literally, like these are hand rubbed baseballs and hand stitched. They're different. Every single one of them. Like they all feel different. Some of them are darker. Some of them are lighter. You know, they're just, each ball is different. So until you like Japanese baseballs come out of the wrapper, you literally peel them out and then they put them in the bag and they all feel the same when you get them. And so there's no substance being applied to it. There's nothing foreign like that. So until we're able to put a product together that's, you know, universal across the board, I think you're going to want to have an availability of somebody to make it comfortable, or just he's just going to keep throwing baseballs out until he gets the right one. So it's not going to get eliminated, like until the baseball is fixed. So
okay, what did you make of Pete Alonso's comments that he thought that this is somehow based the baseball changing in MLB trying to control the open market, so to speak, year to year, based on who's free agents and who's advanced in arbitration?
See, I do love Pete. And, you know, the changing of the baseball was considered an absurd thing. Like, I remember when the baseball first changed and I'm shagging BP in spring training and I'm standing under a fly ball and all of a sudden it's like 10, 15 feet behind me. I'm like, whoa, I'm rusty. Like, that felt weird. And then it just consistently did that. And so the ball flight was different. So if they're willing to change the ball without addressing anybody, it's pretty far out there to think that MLB is doing it, but it's not. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. I don't think it's that, but I wouldn't put it past anything. So I've seen and been a part of many strange interactions between the commissioner's office and the Players Association. But to me, you know, everybody has their opinion, and Pete's an intelligent human being, and he's done some research, and if things line up, they line up. So,
you know, Jerry,
when
Pete said it, it did not come across as just an original in the moment thought. Clearly there had been some discussion with somebody along the way. And I mean, that feels like that's a pretty heavy grenade to throw out there, especially when you have a CBA coming up this coming offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably been a discussion. It's something that I've never heard or addressed or been a part of. I'm sure guys think of things. I mean, we're around each other a ton. Things come up. There's plenty of theories of many things, from baseball to politics to, you know, landing on the moon to the flat earth. People talk about anything. So, you know, it has some merit to it. I wouldn't put it past anyone. You know, there's so much money involved. It's a $10 billion a year industry. And if you think this is going to help you as a businessman, I don't know. I don't think it's that, but again, it's not out of the realm of possibilities for me.
Jerry Blevins with us, the former Met pitcher. All right, a couple more before we let you go. It's been great so far, Jerry. Really appreciate the insight. Now, when you are looking at how this is going to change quickly, if they are cracking down on this, do you expect offensive numbers to go up really exponentially in a pretty short order as a result?
I don't think it will go up exponentially. I think it'll work its way up, because, you know, there's these this is still an era of really good pitching. I don't think this is going to all of a sudden make guys like Glasnow or Gerrit Cole or, you know, guys like Trevor Bauer hittable. These guys are elite pitchers. And if they were using a substance, now they're not going to be. They're not all of a sudden going to be pedestrian and average. There's still so much talent from the pitching side based on, you know, specific training and those same things that guys were able to manipulate with tack and learn about their stuff. Their stuff is still amazing. So it's still going to be, it's going to be easier to score runs and to hit because guys are just not going to have as, I guess the spin rate, it's not going to be as nasty, but it's still the era of the pitcher, I think. So you're not going to all of a sudden see, you know, the games be all hitter sided. So I don't think it's going to be that drastic, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
All right, you mentioned it
earlier. It levels the playing field.
All right, is it leveling the playing field, Jerry? Because that's the other thing, too, is that everybody's trying to level the playing field, but as a result, everybody ends up getting an advantage, and the playing field's not level anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is baseball goes in eras. I mean, you do crazy things. Like, you know, you had the dead ball era, then the steroid era. You've got, you know, Bob Gibson had like such a dominant season that they changed the mound and they moved him down. I think it was 1968. He had like a 1-something ERA and he was so dominant. They're like, look, we gotta do something. And they moved the mound down to what it is today. And they're experimenting with things. There's the shift, banning the shift and trying to get guys to put the ball in play. There's right now we're in the era of the three true outcomes from hitters, right? There's a strikeout, there's a home run, and there's a walk. And that is what saturated the game. And it was okay when pitchers weren't as dominant as they are now. And so we're in a swing of things where there's tons of strikeouts and guys are nasty and the pitchers are at an advantage. And so if you take away the stick, the tack, it takes away that extra edge, but pitchers are still, I think, ahead of hitters. And I think you'll see in the next few seasons, maybe a different style of approach of hitting, maybe a more contact approach. But baseball's got over 100 years of history, and there's been different types of eras throughout our illustrious and wonderful pastime. And you're just in one right now, and we're going to see something come out the other side. Baseball will be baseball. That's the bottom line.
Jerry, what was you mentioned, kind of hinted at it earlier, what was a bizarre interaction that you were a part of between the commissioner's office and the players?
Oh, no, I've just been a part of, there's nothing specific. I've sat in on a few, you know, being a part of the union, when you're sitting across from your, you know, it's not really an adversary, but when you're sitting across the table negotiating the CBA or even, you know, in an arbitration case and you're hearing things back at you, it's just you get a peek behind the curtain and you grow up thinking you're just playing a baseball game and then you see a business side. It kind of peels back a layer of reality and you get to, you know, see the wizard behind the curtain. So you see that there's a business involved in a really big business. And so you become a little bit skeptical and your eyes are opened a little bit to the realities of the game. But again, it's baseball. We're going to keep playing. You know, I hope it gets better. I feel like this is a great time to be a fan of baseball. Overall, we've got really exciting young players. We've got, you know, the Fernando Tatises, the Jacob deGroms. Like it's an exciting time to be a baseball fan. We're putting a great product out on the field, and I think it's only going to get better because they're addressing this tack. So I think it's a really, really big step forward to making our game better as we go.
As you're watching DeGrom, have you ever seen anything like this?
I have not. I mean, I mention it anytime I can. So I got to play with him 15, 16, 17, and 18. And then against him in 14 when he won his rookie of the year. And I've been around a long time. I've got to play with, you know, Frank Thomas and saw a perfect game with Dallas Braden. And one of my highlights of my career, one of my personal highlights is literally just being on his team in 2018 and watching him pitch every fifth day. That was his first Cy Young year. And he was the best pitcher I've ever seen, you know, hands down, and he's only gotten better. And what we're seeing this year is we're seeing, I tried to make a comparison, you know, we're watching Mike Tyson in his prime. We're watching Wayne Gretzky do something when hockey, like when he first came up and started scoring 200 points. What you're seeing now is so crazy to think about. He's so elite at what he's doing that you're witnessing a piece of history. And so, you know, he's must watch TV. If there's somebody out there, you know, that's a borderline fan of baseball, or just if you get to go to a park, you're going to go down in history saying, hey, I got to watch that guy pitch a baseball game. So it's historic. It's wonderful to see this guy, and he's a good person. So on top of just being as good as you can be at a job, he's a good and humble human being. And so it's a blast to watch every day. I'm glad he plays for, you know, I got to spend part of my career with him, and I enjoy watching him pitch every time I can.
And just what you were joking about earlier, what's the greatest conspiracy theory that you ever heard in a discussion among players when you're hanging out, like you were talking about?
Oh my goodness. There's so many things, especially in the bullpen, man. We are some weirdos down there.
who had the most bizarre one that you can remember?
So I don't even want to say his name because I'm afraid he'll come and assassinate me at night. But I had a teammate in New York, a bullpen guy, who was like ahead of his time. He was almost like an Edward Snowden type, where they're watching you, big brother's watching you. He would carry around his cell phone in one of those RFID like sleeves. You know, when we would eat at a restaurant, he would sit in the back corner and face like the exits and always have an eye out for an escape route. And he was just one of those, just an amazing person, a fun character to be around. And it was never a dull moment. So I've seen and heard it all from, you know, from, like I said, from somebody that's a flat earther to, you know, lizard people. It's pretty amazing that the spectrum you get from baseball, that you get all walks of life. So it's never a dull moment in the bullpen.
You know what? Normally I would press you to tell me who it was, but that guy could, like, you could wake up tonight and that guy would be standing over you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm going to shoot him a text later today and just check in with him, make sure he is out of my state, just to be like, hey man, how you doing? Where are you right now? So, hopefully he hasn't tuned in to this station in a while.
Awesome stuff, Jerry. Thank you so much for your time. And listen, if you don't mind, we'll hit you up again because this was great perspective on all of it.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris. Anytime, my friend. I've got nothing but time nowadays.
Outstanding. Jerry Blevins, former Mets pitcher among other teams. And, you know, listen, he gave me some great stuff there. You know, as far as Pete Alonso is concerned, said, yeah, I don't necessarily believe it, but I've heard crazier, and I get where it's coming from. And on all this stuff, like, I'm glad that, and basically views it as cheating with the spin rate. And everybody's using the stuff for grip, but he didn't want to use it. If you're trying to spin the ball, that's where you are trying to cheat. Awesome stuff. Great with Jerry Blevins.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.